Good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, November 14th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday, everyone. It is a chilly 45 degrees and partly sunny here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off on Friday? We titled the show Biofactories, Gene Editing, and Executive Order for Global Health Security. We looked at all kinds of things last week. A lot of it was about gene editing and some of the mad science that DARPA has been funding across this country at universities and scary little labs all over the place, where they have been working on creating factories out of living materials, biofactories they were calling them, or living foundries, where they're able to take biological components and get them to reproduce to create things from the ground up while genetically modifying them to do their bidding. There was a story that we read, I don't know if it was Friday or Thursday, in regards to the smart pills. They are, and I know people never believed when I talked about these shape-shifting immune systems and these little nanobody things that can cure you from the inside, but they have them. They've been talking about reprogramming different bacteria and yeasts. There's a story from last week that it talked about the brewer's yeast that they were reprogramming to produce hydrocodone. And I was joking, saying that, yeah, we could have our drug beer for pain, make it all go away. But, I mean, this is just the beginning. We've said that many, many times. The beginning of technology getting into every facet of our lives. We have this whole 21st century push now all in the name of climate change and bringing down costs and making this a wonderful place to live for our children of the future. But the scary fact of the matter is this is not necessarily always in our best interest. Obama has come out with all kinds of different edicts and executive orders over the last 8 years or so. And every single time he's come out talking about how this is going to be our new economic engine, just like the Human Genome Project was. We got everybody's DNA going into a database as part of the formerly known as the Cohort Program, now known as the All of Us Program, that will allow researchers across the world to access data to be able to produce new 21st century cures and break all the secrets that have been hidden about biology to be able to eventually allow us to live productive, fruitful, healthful 21st century manipulated and controlled down to a cellular level lives. Obama recently, we talked as well about technology and how they're really kind of pushing now the coming of the machine. Artificial intelligence is everywhere. We saw that they are even using artificial intelligence to help develop drugs in factories. Well, they can run through every single permutation and combination utilizing smart machines on the back end to power these biofactories. We'll add to that now our self-driving cars and a lot of the automation that we have been seeing taking place in other places besides the United States, China being one. We looked at Foxconn, the manufacturer, that had just recently, as of May of 2016, replaced 60,000 factory workers, and they are the manufacturer that makes the Apple iPhone, with robots. And back in 2011, Foxconn had announced that their goal was to replace up to 1 million workers with robots. So if we're talking, you know, I know the candidates have all had their own impressions as to what happens. I've watched manufacturing get sucked out of this country since I was a kid. I mean, Buffalo is a very blue-collar city, and most of everyone we knew worked in blue-collar industries and manufacturing, and we've watched it slim right down to next to nothing. I mean, as the guys all retire and that, they could take care of it with attrition, and they could take certain manufacturing lines and move them down to Mexico. That happened with NAFTA. So that's not like it's a new story. But then things started to go over to China and some of these other third world nations. And if the TPP is ever allowed to pass, there will be even a greater sucking sound. But don't worry about it, because like I said, even China, who is this burgeoning middle class now that came specifically and directly from our middle class, is now going to have some of their own issues as big factories such as Foxconn start talking about replacing their low-paid labor as compared to places in the United States and replace them with robots. So you've had different candidates coming out saying, well, we should be moving manufacturing back to the United States, and absolutely, 100%, I think we do need to bring our hand jobs, not hand jobs, our jobs that are done with our hands versus our minds or software, because everything now is becoming intellectual capital. Kids don't know how to fix things anymore, and we don't know how to build things anymore. And if there is ever any type of disaster, global uprising, where other countries aren't going to like us much anymore, well, we're going to have a problem, Clyde, if we don't have manufacturing facilities any longer. But we kind of outlined last week how this new manufacturing that is emerging in the 21st century world is no longer steel girders and production lines. We are talking about laboratories now. And eventually, if Eric Drexler's vision comes to fruition, we are going to find nanofactories across the board. Well, listen to this. Interestingly enough, so we've discussed Foxconn. Trump is talking about now trying to get manufacturing jobs back to the U.S. We have China with a large number of the jobs that used to be here. Well, Foxconn, back in August of 2016, and remember Foxconn was the facility that had workers who were overworked and underpaid launching themselves out of upper story windows, committing suicide. Well, the latest Foxconn worker deaths back in August are now building a case for Apple to move their operations out of China. Now, how strange is that? That was in August, and we just had Trump calling for manufacturing to move back to the U.S., and there was a story that was released right around that same time called the All-American iPhones. We're going to take a look at this. Anyway, Samsung's Galaxy Note 7 might be the talk of the town right now. And yeah, fast forward a few months and they were pulled off the market, were they not, for bursting into flames, as were some, I believe it was the Samsung, hold on, I think it was their smart washing machines too, and got pulled. So much for smart appliances and the Internet of Everything. Bzeep, bzeep, hold on. Here they are. Yes, yeah, Samsung. They had to recall 3 million washing machines because they might explode as well. So wait, I'm going to cue that up. We'll look at that one. But anyways, while Apple's upcoming devices will be very likely not a big upgrade over the iPhone 6, they're going to sell crazy because they're, of course, Apple. Well, with massive demand, however, there comes the pressure to produce. And sadly, Chinese factory workers, and again, remember, this is at Foxconn, have once again fallen victim to this whole global mass manufacturing cycle. Because, yes, China has our manufacturing jobs. And while it is possible that Foxconn's notoriously stressful and tough working conditions contributed to the most recent suicide off the top floor of their Zhengdao building, it is impossible to decipher the exact reason. But the same can't be said for another victim, which was blamed upon harsh working circumstances. And they are paid measly wages and forced to work overtime, sometimes 14 hours a day and 7 days a week. So anyway, as long as they have condolences, now they're kind of looking at things. How much would it actually cost to have an all-American iPhone? Trump has said Apple should actually be making their iPhones in the United States. And so we explained how this would affect the device's price. Trump said we should Have Apple start making their computers and their phones in our land, not in China. And we're going to talk more about China because China is moving into a lot of places. You know, we're calling. I've been kind of taking a look at how this future presidency is going to affect the things that, of course, are near and dear to my heart, which is anything to do with mad science gone mad. Whether or not it's going to stop the truck, back it up, or just be full steam ahead. And I hate to tell you, but everything that I am seeing looks like that it is full steam ahead. There isn't going to be any change with the changing of the guard because this is already in fast forward. So we have Trump calling for them to move manufacturing for iPhones back here, but the manufacturing is coming from a Chinese factory. And if Foxconn or any of these other manufacturers bring manufacturing back to the United States, I hate to tell you, but it's not going to be a $30 or $40 an hour job, first of all. And second of all, because benefits are so expensive and having real-time employees is really not the way of the future, these new manufacturing facilities from Chinese or otherwise companies that we are going to bring back to the United States aren't going to be manned fully with humans. They're going to be manned with production robots. So anyway, assembling these components into an iPhone costs about $4 and about $10 in the estimate of another professor out of Syracuse University. Ding, remember that, because we're going to talk about Syracuse in a bit. And in the grand total, it would add about $30 to $40 to the cost of an iPhone. And that is partly because costs of labor in the U.S. are higher, but also because there's additional transportation and logistics expenses that would arise from shipping parts and not just the final product to the U.S. But, you know, it would raise the cost about 5%, and there's all this competition out there. Don't think that these companies are going to sit back and take rising costs with lowering their profits just to bring things back here. There's going to be some sort of payoff to bring manufacturing to the United States. Let's take a look again at Samsung. They had exploding phones. We have Samsung with potentially exploding washers as well. Samsung Electronics, and we know too, Samsung is out of South Korea. Samsung has been working on some robotics themselves, and they have a military division. We dug into that back a few months ago. Samsung Electronics, and they also have a bio division, by the way. We never talked about that, but I ran across that by accident a few months back. They manufacture cell lines. Samsung Electronics, which is already reeling from a global recall of the Note 7 smartphones, ding, I thought so, said it would recall about 2.8 million of its top-loading washing machines in the United States to address safety concerns. The top of the washing machines can unexpectedly detach from the chassis during use, posing risk of injury from impact. Oh, ha, ha, ha. So they don't literally explode. The lid comes flying off and becomes a projectile. Holy crap. The machines are being recalled and were manufactured between March of 2011 and November of 2016. Samsung received 9 related reports of injuries, including a broken jaw, an injured shoulder, and other fall-related injuries. Yeah, like trying to duck quick. Holy crap. This is what you get for buying smart anything. Samsung received 9 reports, and they are the world's top smartphone maker, and they're already grappling with a global recall of at least 205 million Galaxy Note 7 smartphones due to faulty batteries causing phones to catch fire. And while this defect is not the same as the 7's issues, it likely will raise further concerns over the company's quality control measures and product safety. And, you know, that's another thing, like quality control. When we were looking at some of this new immuno and gene therapy with this new 21st century medicine last week, one of the things that we discovered, too, is that some of these vaccines now, of course, are being produced in China. I think that we're going to see more and more of that. And if not in China, if they bring manufacturing back to the United States, very possible that they're going to have Chinese economic investment zones like they are doing in some of the upstate New York cities, where they allow these companies from other countries to come here and basically set up their own, what do they want to call it, sovereign little mini nation, where they get all kinds of tax benefits, and sometimes they're not even party to all of our laws, kind of like we have on Indian reservations. I don't know if that is exactly what they are doing in Syracuse, but we're going to look at this new Smart City, Smart Solution program. New York State, in some of the charts that I was looking at, is one of the big states full of investment. New York and Maryland. Maryland, where your alphabet agencies have a lot of investment, as well as your Plum Islands and Fort Detrick. So I thought it was interesting that New York and Maryland would be the two top investment states. But anyway, back to things produced in China. China is where a lot of the manufacturing is happening now. And like I said, you have to worry about these countries that don't have any type of quality control. And when things are shipped into this country, we don't have good checks and balances that are going to be necessarily looking at safety. We give them a blessing to manufacture and ship to this country. And that isn't just in washing machines or defective phones or defective vaccines. But we are also looking at things such as Chinese chicken now. Get rid of your labeling laws. We don't need to know where our food comes from. I saw that there's a brand new push now for test tube beef. All in the name of climate change, we've talked about that a whole bunch of times. The cost has come down from some insane number, like $325,000 a burger, now to $11.36 for a lab-grown burger. So put in a seatbelt, people. This isn't going to stop anything having Trump in office. And as a matter of fact, if I had to predict, I would say that it's going to accelerate things. You know, there are double edges to every single idea and technology. And I always thought that having a businessman in charge might be better than having a politician who doesn't understand ledgers and balance sheets and how to get the best price for things. But if the best price means going to China to get our vaccines or to get our lab-grown beef or to get our iPhones or whatever, I just don't think that that is a great idea. So, all right, where do we bounce off here? I'm getting off topic. So we have all these recalls happening. We have all kinds of automation happening. We have Obama declaring in October that his successor will govern a country being transformed by artificial intelligence. And that was in Pittsburgh, at that AI conference at the Carnegie Mellon University, same place that created the winning AI for that DARPA Cyber Grand Challenge. And the White House had come out with a report about the future of AI and how it is going to change things. One of the things that we discovered, lo and behold, the robots are going to take all the jobs. And regardless if we bring manufacturing back here or not, I don't think that that is going to change the future landscape. This is WhiteHouse.gov, October 12, 2016, the administration's report on the future of artificial intelligence. Under Obama's leadership, America continues to be the most innovative country with its greatest potential to develop the industries of the future and harness science and technology to help address important challenges. And over the last 8 years, Obama has relentlessly destroyed this country, focused on building U.S. capabilities in science and technology. And this past Thursday in October, Obama will host the White House Frontiers Conference in Pittsburgh to imagine the nation and the world in 50 years and beyond, and to explore America's potential to advance toward the frontiers that will make the world a what? Oh, a healthier, yes, healthy with technology, more prosperous, yes, more prosperous with the 21st century precision medical healthcare economic engine, and more equitable and more secure. Yes, equitable, that we're all going to be transhumanized, and secure, that they can surveil us at a molecular level. But don't worry about it, people. Go back to sleep, because the changing of the guard is going to fix all this. No, it is not. It's all going to be pushed forward in the name of reducing costs and making it a better and more secure world and bringing down our healthcare costs. And you know, I covered on Friday the new executive order that came out on the 4th of November, titled Advancing the Global Health Security Agenda. And that is going to roll out these 21st century cures to the world. These 21st century cures that'll be built in factories run by automation and artificial intelligence, running through every combination and permutation of creating different life forms to produce different things and make biofactories. I mean, guys, nobody would even believe this if you tried to explain it to them. You know, I tried to have some sort of intelligent conversation this weekend with my family, and it's just, with anybody, any of my family, it is just completely impossible to even get a glimmer of understanding as to the implications of what we are sitting on the cusp of right now. So back to this WhiteHouse.gov artificial intelligence plan. To ready the United States for the future, in which artificial intelligence plays a growing role, the White House released a report on the future directions and considerations for AI called Preparing for the Future of Artificial Intelligence. This report surveys the current state of AI, its existing and potential applications, and the questions that progress in AI raise for society and public policy. And yeah, again, I always say, what about the ethics? But ethics, schmethics out a window. Remember, the head of Penn U out of Pennsylvania was actually the woman that was dubbed the head of ethics for these technologies to the Obama administration. We dug that up a while back. This report, Preparing for the Future of AI, also makes recommendations for specific further actions in a companion called the National Artificial Intelligence Research and Development Strategic Plan was also released, laying out a strategic plan for federally funded, ding ding, research and development in AI. And I could guarantee you that a good part of the federal funding is probably coming out of institutions such as our love to hate favorite, DARPA. Preparing for the Future of Artificial Intelligence details several policy opportunities raised by AI, including how the technology can be used to advance social good. And to what? Oh, improve government operations. And you know, that's something that's really been kind of frightening me right now. I saw a few things last night that really made the little gears start making clicking noises in my head. I think they need a little bit of oil because they are getting too hot. With all of the thinking that I've been doing as to what the future implications are. But guys, we have this big contested election now. We have all these people who didn't give two shits before, now in the streets, paid rioting, smashing windows, making it look like, oh my goodness, we are a nation divided. And I think we are a nation divided. I think it started a long time ago, but this march forward has been a big fat psyop, people. We are being divided on purpose. We are trying now to undermine the election process in this country. And I'll tell you, I don't think it mattered who got elected, because I think that the results would have been exactly the same. In regards to losing faith in the system, I see now change.org has a petition out there. I guess the Electoral College, they're saying that Hillary Clinton got the popular vote and the Electoral College won it for Trump. But the Electoral College has to actually put in their votes December 19th. And though traditionally the Electoral College followed how the states voted, they are not bound by law to do that. They will face a fine and maybe get bitch slapped a little bit, but they can change their vote to something else. So there's a petition out there now by change.org, saying, look, Electoral College people in the 24 states that can actually change their vote or something legally by law, we didn't vote for this guy. And this is going to screw up our country beyond belief. He's a joke. So let's flip the switch and make Hillary Clinton the elected president. And the horrifying thought that at the 11th and a half and three quarters hour, that there would be a way that they could flip the switch. And I don't care who the candidates are. Like I said, they would be able to flip that switch to make it another candidate who's actually going to be commander in chief after a month or more after an election. Guys, this is setting us up for some real big freaking problems, some real future disasters that could be impending upon our country. First thing I see is, oh, they pull that switch. You think we got problems now, Clyde? If they decided Hillary Clinton all of a sudden became president, shit would erupt like we have never seen before in this country. And I mean with a big kaboom. And that big kaboom could be a perfect example. Remember, Obama is still in charge December 19th. We could roll out all these new 21st century war technologies to now tamp down on full-blown social unrest. And for that next election here in 4 years from now, you know, we could talk about the insecurity of voting machines, and we could talk about how broken the Electoral College is and how stealing the vote by paid or unpaid people coming in from places or bussed in or shipped in or no documentation or whatever, voting eight times. Didn't we have Rudy Giuliani I think it was Giuliani talking about when he was mayor. He knew that there were instances where people were voting multiple times. So let's destroy any faith that anyone still had in the voting system. And let's do something more 21st century. Let's let the machine run the show. Hey, humans have foibles. Nobody is perfect. And we have IBM Watson, who's doing some miraculous things. He keeps getting featured in different technologies that he has done this amazing. I keep calling him he. Stop, Jewel, stop. It's not a he. Don't anthropomorphize these things. They are not human. And they are only programmed to do what humans tell them to do. But Watson is progressing with leaps and bounds, like I said, in learning genomics and curing cancer. A million books a minute or a second it can read. It is just absolutely insane. We saw now that they are going to start using AI, not necessarily Watson, but AI in general, to do cloud type learning. So they can spread things from one machine to another in the blink of an eye. Soon to be with 5G and millimeter wave at a terabit a second. And we have our government pushing ahead with automation to the nth degree as a way to make us a new economic powerhouse. And we have all these problems in this country. I think we are going to see robot soldiers, no problem at all. We got Valkyrie out of NASA, and they've already talked about using that for homeland security and, of course, quote-unquote, recovering from disasters. They don't say what kind of disaster. Social unrest is considered a disaster as well. And by the way, you know, as these protesters are smashing and burning, walking through cities, take a good look at your homeowner's policy next time you get a renewal. For those of you that have them, because I'll tell you, over the last few years, I'm one of those really annoying people that reads legal documents and highlights and things and makes little notes. And my last two, I would say, homeowners policy that I combined with my car insurance, all have clauses now that say I am not covered from radiological dispersion, which, oh, yay, good thing. Good thing we got Fukushima spewing all over us for 6 years now, just about. But also, I'm not protected from social unrest. So if I get a Molotov cocktail thrown through my window, or my car window smashed, and my back seat burned, my car, my home, is not covered under insurance for that. It's very disturbing to me that we have come to this point. But hey, let's roll out the robot police. Let's make a unified national police force. We have all this brutality problem going on. You know, we've been federalizing some of these different departments that have had big issues, putting them under the Department of Justice. They've been rolling out those K-5 units in California, that little R2-D2 thing that ran over the toddler. Like I said, they're working on this Valkyrie, and we got Atlas, too, already from DARPA, military version of the humanoid robot that can be armed and used in the battlefield, is coming. We got self-driving cars. Of course, you won't even need to have a personally owned vehicle anymore in the future. Push a button, it'll show up. Maybe even finance your trip by blasting LED commercials the whole way on the walls around you in the vehicle. But you know, as they bag and tag and scan us at every level and be able to reduce our health insurance costs by putting just these little brewer's yeasty things inside of you. Like, I just couldn't even believe we were reading that. And they can manufacture drugs based upon whether or not you're operating within parameters. And the second you go outside of those parameters, that yeast can start manufacturing things to cure you internally while it's inside of you. It's just, you know, and then they can connect these things with little micro wireless sensors that can be read every time you pass a base station and encrypt your data and send it back real time, beep, 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 to your dashboard that your doctor in Beijing is monitoring. It's just insane. Anyway, all right, let's not wander too much. Let's get back to this White House report on AI. So we have two releases that we should read with a fine-tooth comb. One called Preparing for the Future of Artificial Intelligence. We're not going to do that today because we're already at 10:30. But maybe at some point this week. And number two is the companion called the National Artificial Intelligence Research and Development Strategic Plan. Preparing for the Future of AI details several policy opportunities raised by AI, including how the technology can be used to advance social good and improve government operations. And that's where I kind of went off, or, you know, eventually run the government so we don't have problems like we have now in the future. Imperfect leaders picking the lesser of two evils, or a lunatic that might get into the office. We'll fix that. We can just program the AI to do the right thing, statistically speaking, of course, as well as how to adapt regulations that affect AI technologies, such as what? Yes, automated vehicles, in a way that encourages innovation in this country. Also, while protecting the public, yes, because your concern is their utmost interest, as well as how to ensure that AI applications are fair, safe, and governable, and how to develop a skilled and diverse AI workforce. The publication of this report follows a series of public outreach activities spearheaded by the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy in 2016, which included five co-hosted public workshops held across the country, as well as an RFI, a request for information, that received 161 responses from different companies who are interested in participating in the growth of these technologies. These activities helped inform the focus area and recommendations included in the report. I wonder who, let's take a look quick. Let's see if they tell us who responded. No, it's going to be some big, long freaking document. So we'll have to look at that later. I'm sure it was all the tech big boys. Guarantee you that. Advances in AI hold incredible potential to help Americans stay on the cutting edge of innovation, and already AI technologies have opened up new markets and new opportunities for progress in critical areas such as what? Oh, healthcare. Yeah, we knew it. Little nanobodies. Education Yeah, well, they're already doing third and fourth graders asking their thoughts about Google self-driving cars on their automated online tests. Energy, and we have looked at the Department of Energy, is a big part of the synthetic biology and the synthetic biology projects that have been rolling out across this country for the last decade or so, all in the name of producing green fuels as well as the environment. And yeah, there was the DARPA lady talking about being able to terraform Mars, but utilizing these technologies to be able to clean up our own environment here on Earth first. Yeah, let them loose and see what happens. In recent years, machines have surpassed humans in the performance of certain tasks, such as some aspects of image recognition. And although it is very unlikely that machines will exhibit broadly applicable intelligence comparable to or exceeding the humans in the next 20 years, yeah, except for Wink Watson, experts forecast the rapid progress of exponential returns in the field of specialized AI will continue, with machines reaching and exceeding human performance on an increased number of tasks. And you know, add to that, cloud learning. And I really think we're pretty much going to be slaves of a superhuman race of some sort of intelligence that we let loose. We have released the demon, as Elon Musk has said. In the coming years, AI will continue to contribute to economic growth and be a valuable tool for healthcare and et cetera. And we should be ready for these challenges. Technology can help us manage the risks of the future. And we have, all of us have an opportunity to help in building an AI-enhanced society. As well as, you know, it's all about equality, people. We all will also have the opportunity to participate in its benefits. And that universal basic income is being floated again. Robots take all the jobs. They're going to pay us to sit around and be pretty and eat grapes and think about things. And to be human guinea pigs. All right. So here's a story that I did a headline last week, but we never dug into this, and I want to hit this story. IBM. This is out of Computer World. We saw Watson on 60 Minutes with Charlie Rose talking about all the wonders and all the cancer he's cured and all the genomics he's working on. Well, Computer World, October 27, 2016, IBM, in 5 years, Watson AI will be behind your every decision. Watson technology will touch hundreds of millions of people by the end of this year, says CEO Ginni Rometty. In the next 5 years, every important decision, whether it is business or personal, will be made with the assistance of IBM Watson. Now, guys, this is going to be during this next presidency. Whichever lunatic ends up running the show, IBM Watson, in the next 5 years, according to Ginni Rometty, CEO of IBM, will be made with the assistance of IBM Watson. That is the vision of IBM President and CEO Ginni Rometty in a keynote speech at IBM's World of Watson Conference on Wednesday in October in Vegas. Watson, the company's artificial intelligence-fueled system, and they call it cognitive computing, if I remember correctly, is working in the fields of healthcare, finance, entertainment, and retail, as well as underwear. We covered Under Armour intelligent underwear coming. Connecting more businesses easily with their customers and making sense of big data, and helping doctors find treatments for cancer patients. Ding, ding. The Watson system is set to transform how business functions and how people live their lives. Our goal is to what? Well, it is to augment intelligence, says Rometty. It is man and machine. And this is all about extending your expertise. A teacher, a doctor, a lawyer. Remember, IBM Watson was already hired as a lawyer. I just remembered his name and then I forgot it again. Ross, that's what it was. Ross, the AI lawyer, was hired by a big law firm that is also back-ended by Watson. Ginny says, it doesn't matter what you do, IBM will extend it. At IBM's conference in October, which the company said drew 17,000 attendees, they explored how companies, including retailers, educators, human resource departments, and financial institutions, among others, can actually utilize Watson. The challenge IBM has right now is to define the marketplace. 10 years from now, will IBM be the leader? Well, Watson is the leader today. But that's easy. If you want to be the leader, they need to create the marketplace and then the expectations. The AI market is young. Like I said, people, this is just the beginning. And malleable. And Watson is the biggest name, pulling in users like General Motors, GlaxoSmithKline, Staples, Teva Pharmaceuticals, the American Cancer Society, and the Cleveland Clinic. And every industry starts with a blank slate. This is the blank slate. IBM is in the position right now to create a base everyone can build on. And Watson will touch hundreds of millions of people by the end of this year alone. And in many cases, its users may not know it. Watson may be embedded in Staples' new Easy Button smart device or 1-800-Flower.com's new digital gift concierge, or into GM's new OnStar Go service. OnStar, which has been around for about 20 years, provided in-vehicle communication, security, navigation, remote diagnostics, and hands-free calling. But with Watson working behind the scenes on OnStar Go, drivers could get help avoiding traffic when they're low on gas, have a cup of coffee ordered and paid for when they get to their favorite cafe, and get a reminder to get off the highway 2 exits early to make it easier to stop at the pharmacy after work. Guys, you know, our brains are going to turn to gelatinous masses that are useless as we augment ourselves and give it all up to the machine. It is the nanny state. We need someone to make decisions for us as a society. These last two generations have been taught to be babies and to not know how to react in an event of adversity. You know, oh my goodness, when you have a choice to make, oh, it's so depressing. Or, oh my goodness, it's so hard to think. I'm so distracted 24/7 and the Kardashians are on. Come on. This really is not going to head us in the right direction as a species, guys. And they're pushing it so hard, and they're rolling it out, and it's all done in the name of convenience. It's all being done in the name of keeping you safe. I mean, they didn't mention it for this OnStar, but what is it going to take, since they have all this connectivity and tie into the vehicle, for them to just remotely take your vehicle over? You smell like you had a little too much to drink tonight, Johnny. Autopilot is turned on and engaged. I mean, that's not too much of a stretch of the imagination. Rometty also said that IBM's moonshot, ding, those moonshots are just really splurting all over us now. Moonshots seem to be the craziest of the mad science projects from every different angle, and all the different companies that have them is focused on healthcare. And she brought on stage Saturo Mignano, a professor of the Human Genomic Center at the Institute of Medical Science at the University of Tokyo. Ding, Japan. Remember, Japan is where a lot of our mad science happens, one of our many mad science countries. Mignano said that researchers and doctors are faced with too much data, and that's what they said, too, on that 60 Minutes expose when they were interviewing one of the lead oncologists from the cancer hospital. There's just too much data for them to make good decisions anymore. And so Watson's just making it so much easier. Last year, Mignano said, more than 200,000 papers were published about cancer alone. And meanwhile, 4 million cancer mutations were also reported. Nobody can read it all, he said. And I would agree with him on that. We feel we are a frog in the bottom of the well, and understanding cancer is beyond a human being's ability. Oh, God. But it's not, people. Just absorbing data is. You need researchers. You need a research department. You don't need artificial intelligence to do it all for you. We have the capability, but Watson can read, understand, and learn. So why not use him? Yeah. Why not build him into the all-knowing, all-seeing Oracle? Researchers are using Watson to cull through all the data and to help the clinicians find specific mutations in patients' genomes and then offer guidance in the treatment. Miano also gave examples of a 66-year-old woman with leukemia. She received standard therapy, but it was still getting worse. Doctors didn't understand why, but they used Watson, and researchers analyzed all of her data that they had on that woman in just 10 minutes. Watson's results were investigated, targeting specific genes, and the team found that she also had another type of leukemia that requires different therapies, and she got it and recovered completely. So we just made her a technical case study, like I told you was going to happen with all of these technologies, to then turn it out into a Computer World article and sell it to the country. All right, and speaking of selling it to the country, we have New York State. And this is the... hold on. Got a talking lady. This is out of the New York State Economic Development Sponsorship, coming from Bloomberg, Syracuse, New York. It says, smart cities, smart solutions. Advanced industries are vital to the nation's economic future. So bringing back manufacturing to the United States. I'm telling you guys, this isn't going to stop the train. This is going to accelerate the train down the hill. And Syracuse, New York is being made a crown jewel. I'm sorry, JJ, poor Syracuse. This is only an hour and a half down the thruway from me. It is bursting with the right, and notice how they word this, Syracuse, New York is bursting with the right DNA for these companies to thrive. Last year, the Love to Hate 'em Brookings Institute released a report titled America's Advanced Industries, What They Are, Where They Are, and Why They Matter. That would be a good one to read as well. Regarding the what and the why, this report had to say this, quote, these industries encompass the nation's tech sector, ding, ding, at its broadest and most consequential. Their dynamism is going to be a central component of any future revitalized U.S. economy, unquote. I told you, tech titans, the Googles, the Facebooks, the Microsofts, the tech billionaires all got in cozy, and they are part of those who are in charge now. Among the locations of the quote-unquote where they are, Syracuse, New York stands out. And in data accompanying this report, metro areas are assigned an industry location quotient. And a location quotient score of one or higher indicates that an industry employs more workers as a share of total employment than the U.S. as a whole. The Syracuse metro area, 17 of the top 25 advanced industries have an LQ quotient of greater than one, representing $6.3 billion in annual output and nearly 9% of all the jobs in the region. But something special is happening in Syracuse. And remember, this is another one of those glossy sheets to bring an investment, but it was horrifying to read. And something that's happening in Syracuse all starts at the area's 35 colleges and universities that are getting all this sprinkle funding from Mad Science Gone Mad, which develop new ideas and produce a deep talent pool. Those ideas are then nurtured at business incubators like the Tech Garden, where 60 entrepreneurs are busy creating new company breakthrough technologies and next-generation jobs. We can take a company through idea creation, funding, investment, acceleration, and scaling, says Rick Clonan, VP for Innovative Entrepreneurship in Syracuse, and that is an incredible thing to do in one entity, in one place. Let's connect to everything very easily, and let's all become entrepreneurs that work together. Readily available tech talent makes Syracuse prime location for startups. Snowdragon, a Chinese company. We talked about Chinese investment. That develops biometric identification solutions, just what we need. Chinese investments in biometric identification solutions in Syracuse, New York, has set up shop at the Tech Garden. The Syracuse location is the first in the U.S. for Jai Kai, an entrepreneur and major stakeholder in the CN Biotechnology Group, which has 14 locations in China. In Syracuse, Snowdragon employees will be working on technology that scans veins in a person's finger and then authenticates them against a database. Ding! Like fingerprints, blood vessel patterns are unique to each individual, but their location beneath the skin makes them more difficult to recognize. Snowdragon is eligible for an incentive from New York State that allows them to operate tax-free, ding, economic development zone for 10 years in New York State if they meet criteria that includes partnering with one of the state university colleges. That's the SUNY system. This is a genuine opportunity to bring foreign direct investment to central New York, and that is a key component to our region's economic development plan. Guys, ding, 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 ding. Our core of our economic development is to bring foreign investment of Chinese to develop biometric solutions to the heart of New York. This is where our future is going. This Chinese company is just one example of a wide variety of advanced tech businesses that are leveraging the talented workforce and incentives available in Syracuse and central New York. Others include Ephes, which creates LED lighting solutions that are popping up in Major League Baseball and NFL stadiums all across the U.S., as well as Cayuga Milk Ingredients, which that sounds horrifying, which is a high-tech milk processor. Griffin Sensors, which develops sensors for unmanned aerial vehicles. Ding, ding, of which, of course, Syracuse is one of the nationwide drone bases, just so you know. JMA Wireless, a leading innovator in mobile wireless connectivity solutions that ensure infrastructure reliability, streamline service operations, and maximize wireless performance, as well as Terrakeet, a global leader in engagement marketing technologies, yeah, to be able to spin it all out. So there you have it, people. Syracuse is being spun. Central New York is being spun. Is a burgeoning economic development zone, loving the foreign investment, bringing Chinese companies here to develop biometrics, new technologies for synthetic and UAVs and all kinds of great stuff. This is type of world we want to be living in the future. And lastly but not leastly, and I don't know if we'll be able to get to much of this, that might be one for the next show, 10 ludicrously advanced technologies we can expect by the year 2100. So guys, I have painted a recent coming future, just the next 5 years. IBM will be touching billions of lives, running everything, and we have Chinese investments coming to the United States near you. Predicting the future is hard, and it is nearly impossible to know what technological marvels or horrors await in the next few years, let alone in the next 8 decades. Undaunted, though, we have put together a list in Gizmodo of 10 super advanced technologies that should be around by 2100. Some of these technologies are rather out there, but I am reasonably confident in making these predictions, and this is this person writing the story. As radical as some of these items described here appear, most, if not all, should definitely be around by the 22nd century. The reason has to do with innovation that doesn't appear on this list, and that innovation is because of artificial superintelligence that is rolling out right now. Ding, ding. And as a computer scientist, I.J. Good aptly pointed out in the 1960s that the first ultra-intelligent machine will be the last invention that man ever made. That actually should be the title of the show. Once greater than human intelligence emerges in the machine, a development that could actually happen as early as 2025 or 2050, and I think even sooner than that, considering how Watson is gobbling up information, all bets are off in terms of what is technically possible, because even your worst nightmare will be possible. Intelligent machines will replace human designers and engineers constructing technologies from our dreams or nightmares, including some that we had never even thought of. And I think we're going to wait until tomorrow to look at some of those technologies. So we got 10 really scary ones. All right, guys, make sure you stick around because it is Monday. Ms. Lonnie Clark is live up next. All kinds of great radio today. And we have brand new Truth on the Tracks tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern and a live anti-media radio with Nick and DB. All right, guys. My time is off or my bumper isn't on, so I will just keep talking for a little bit, or maybe I can't hear it. No, I don't know. Maybe I didn't put my outro on. All right, guys, we'll make sure everyone sticks around, and there we go. Have an awesome Monday, and I will catch up with you tomorrow. Everybody take care.
On the tracks, you can catch